Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word, if you can. As I continue to preach in your hearing, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's vision of the problem of the color line. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, part four, and that from that mentality, from that mindset, that it has to be a permanent problem. The lost souls of black folk and white folk, part 58. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. And I hope to get to expounding upon this today, but if not today, certainly next time, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and the reading of it. And Holy Father God, I thank you for the time of prayer that we've already had. Hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for your holy word that we've already read. And we thank you for your holy word here that lets us know through divine inspiration that all men are of one blood, no matter the race. And so nobody is, no race is better than another race. Have mercy and grace upon all of us, black, white, red, and yellow. For we are all precious in your sight, but we are not precious in each other's sight. And it's not just the white man, it's the black man as well. We have racism in our hearts because we have pride in our hearts. We do think foolishly that we're somehow superior than others, or that you love us more than you love others. Is rooted in demonic pride. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us and forgive us of our sins as Christians. And I'm talking about Christians primarily, as you know. And help us to repent of this foolishness in our hearts. And no amount of preaching, no amount of symposiums and conferences will change this issue and this problem. In our churches. Only you can change the heart by saving the soul. Unfortunately, Lord, as you know, we have many people in the church who are religious but lost. They joined the church to sell insurance policies like a country club, but they have never been born again, and so their heart is not changed. So Lord, help us to repent. Help us to trust Christ as Savior in the church and then witness to a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction and as a reminder of what this series is all about, allow me to finish sharing with you once again the forethought of the lost souls of black folk and white folk. Many people in the church today, unfortunately, many preachers are lost. Literally lost. They have never been born again. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. White and black, red and yellow. And then we have many people in the church who are saved but have compromised with the world, trying to fit in. With the world. And fit in with what the devil is doing. There are many things that we ought to, as Bible-believing Christians, so-called evangelicals, who don't evangelize. We used to be called Christians, as the first Christians were called in Antioch. But never mind that. We ought to unhitch ourselves from many things, but not from the Holy Bible. And by the way, which some false prophets are teaching and preaching, and which many people are buying into. Many respected leaders, so-called Christian leaders in the country, are buying into it, and the young folks in the church are buying into it hook, line, and sinker. What we ought to unhitch from is not only racism in the church, but all sin in the church. We ought to unhitch from worldliness, trying to be like the world, thinking we can win the world by being like them. We ought to unhitch from this push for accepting homosexuality in the church when we don't accept adultery or fornication, or we should not accept it. There's a whole lot we ought to unhitch from in the church, but not the Holy Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. For the Christian, the person who is born again and saved, I had a young person to tell me yesterday that they read the Word of God because it's the only thing that helps them to make it in life. A young person said that yesterday. And I've been saying it for years. We need to read the Word of God for our strength, for our encouragement in the faith. I would have never made it without the Old Testament and the New Testament over the past 40 years of my Christian life, and 33 years of having a family, being married, and all of that. And that's why so many marriages and so many families are being destroyed, because they have a low idea of the Holy Word of God, to the point of not reading it, and if they read it, not obeying it. And that's why you have hell in your home, hell in your family life, therefore hell in your church, because you have a low idea regarding the Holy Word of God, to the point that you don't read it, you don't meditate on it, as the Bible tells us to do, and you don't do it. See, all marriage problems and family problems can be resolved in your marriage and family instantaneously if the husband and wife, the father and mother, and the children did what Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 told them to do. And by the way, in those New Testament verses, it includes, it takes for granted, if you will, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. All of that is in the Old Testament as well. But be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, as you may know, by the grace of God, I preached the gospel for 367 days straight during the tumultuous 2016 presidential campaign. I also preached the gospel for 100 days straight in between President Barack Obama's two terms as president in 2012. The campaign is called the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, and I did it because we're so backwards in the church today that, like the world, we tie our hopes not to Jesus but to politicians, to lying politicians. And there are Christians today who have done more witnessing for a lying politician than they have for Jesus, and that's a fact. And there are some Christians who love lying politicians more than they love Jesus, not realizing that if we had done in America what Jesus, both the black church and the white church, and by the way, we need to unhitch ourselves from politics. You can vote, you can pray, and you can vote, but you don't need to be getting caught up with it like the world. This world is going to hell in a handbasket because the church is not doing what our true King has told us to do, to pray for everybody, to not take sides with anybody in the world, and to witness to everybody, to tell everybody about Jesus. We have Christians who will spend hours and days marching down the street in the sun for a politician, planting signs in people's yards and knocking on doors, but they have never knocked on a door for Jesus Christ. It is a shame before God. We have lost our souls. We have lost our way, and some of us have lost our minds. Is this popular? No. Am I preaching to be popular? No. Because this is not popular. Some Christians can't stand it. They want me to stop. Since that time, ladies and gentlemen, I have continued preaching the gospel nearly every day, totaling now over 1,000 gospel, Christ-centered messages throughout the Trump years as a symbol to the church on how we need to get back to the main thing. And thank God for some getting back to the main thing. I'm not saying they did it because of me, but whatever reason led them to do it, thank God some of the preachers are getting back to the main thing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The new Southern Baptist Convention president, you need to hear his new program. It's the best I have heard from the Southern Baptist folks or anybody else in years. One. Pray for one. Witness to one. Disciple one. Get the one baptized. Get the one in church. Just one, man. Just one. Now that, you know, see, you got to understand, I got to hold myself back, because as an evangelist, that just gets me excited. What if everybody in the church just got one? What if everybody in the church just witnessed to one? What if everybody in the church discipled one? One! One! I love it. I love it. I don't care who gets the credit. I love it. And I want every denomination to get with the one program. Every denomination to get with the one program. We need to keep the main thing the main thing, and that we need to keep the main thing, which is to love all people, witness to all people, pray for all people, and keep ourselves unspotted from the world by confessing our sins daily and repenting of our sins. Not just confessing, but repenting. I had somebody to apologize to me on yesterday. But I told the person, that's great. I receive your apology. I accept your apology, but you need to repent. You need to change your behavior. And not only do I want that in that person's life, for it would be right for that person to do it, but he needs to do it. That person needs to do it for themselves. And do it for the glory of God. But more importantly, God wants all of us to confess our sins and repent and apologize and get our hearts right with him. Then we, in God's mind and in God's mind, we can move on. He can move on with us in fellowship, just like I can move on in fellowship with that person, because they have apologized, they've asked for forgiveness. But we want to see fruits of repentance. That's what God is looking for. When Jesus came, he did not come and say, confess ye. He jumped right to repent ye. Repent ye. God wants to see repentance, a change in your behavior, in your heart and in your behavior, that is permanent. One of the reasons I am sharing this with you today, ladies and gentlemen, is because before I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I was determined to make my life's work the work of fighting against the injustices against black people. I told you I wanted to be like Jesse Jackson, and do work in that vein. But then I met Jesus Christ. I never met Jesse, but I did meet Jesus on December the 19th, 1979, in an Air Force dorm room around 8:30, 9-ish that night. My dorm room was 316, just so happened. And Jesus Christ dramatically changed my life and my perspective on life. And even though he gave me a burden for my brethren, according to the flesh, black people, I love black people. I love black people so much I married a black wife. I have black children. If I had my choice, I'll drive a black car. As you know, all I wear is black suits. So I love black. If I had the money, I'd blacktop my driveway. But be that as it may, because I was raised up in a black Baptist church and in the black Pentecostal Holiness Church at the same time. My dad was a black Baptist preacher. My mother, maybe I didn't have to say black. My dad was a Baptist preacher. My mother was and is a Pentecostal Holiness preacher. Yet I was lost and on my way to hell and had not heard the gospel for 19 years of my life. And I knew that others in the black community were misled as well. Thank God for those who were truly born again. I will say this, raised in a divided city, of course, back in those days, I never received a gospel tract. Not one of the Bible-believing Baptist churches, white Baptist churches, or any of the other evangelical white churches all around me. I know about them now. I knew nothing of them back in those days. And they had the gospel. They never came into the black community, or at least they never came to my house to witness to me or to tell me about Jesus. Nor did in any of the black churches. But I tell you who did come. The Jehovah's Witnesses. They were faithful in coming with their damnable doctrines. My point is, if we don't unhitch ourselves from W.E.B. Du Bois's vision of the problem of the color line completely, and that being a permanent situation, as it evidently is in the minds of many, black and white, it is an issue right now in 2019 as people are running for the presidency of the United States. Still, we're still talking about this mess. And it's still a problem in the church. And that's one of the reasons why it is a problem in the greater culture. And one of the reasons why I say that is because black churches are not witnessing to their own communities. And back in my day, coming up, and not witnessing cross-culturally. In the white church, definitely did not do so while I was coming up. I pray so now with some younger preachers in the pulpit. But that's how the churches get integrated. Not by having symposiums and conferences and writing books, man. No. It's about the church doing its job. It's about the church doing what God, Jesus Christ, told us to do. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. That includes black creatures and white creatures, yellow creatures and red creatures. And you'll be amazed at what God has done in churches that used to be predominantly white or used to be predominantly black, and all kinds of folk up in there now because somebody went out and reached one. So God put in my heart to reach my brethren according to the flesh with a clear, understandable presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wonder why I preach the gospel every day? And I take the time and make it very clear, point one, point two, point three. Because for so many years growing up in both denominational situations, Baptist and Pentecostal Holiness, I never heard a clear, understandable presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I fear and I am afraid that many folk have never heard it. Even in some of our mega churches today, they are brought in through some kind of attraction. And there's so many people they're not witnessed to and told about Christ. And most pastors don't preach the gospel. They preach everything else. And the folks are attracted to that everything else, but not Jesus, not the gospel. And so their family never gets healed from your family message because they have never been born again. Be that as it may, in fact, it was after I got into the Air Force, thank God, it was a white independent Baptist church plant. They were planting a black church in Mississippi, of all places, where I heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my eternal soul was saved from a burning hell to a heaven that I do not deserve because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This happened when I was in the Air Force. God had to get me out of that situation of religion and no faith in Christ, no gospel, and move me at the right time, in the right place, of all places, in Mississippi. A white, old white pastor was convicted about the racism in his church. And he was warned by his deacons, if you let those Negroes get baptized over here, and we're going to leave. Well, he made up his mind, then you're just going to have to leave. Because I was one of those Negroes that got baptized in that baptismal pool. One of the first ones in Old South Mississippi. I mean deep Mississippi. Later, God began to show me a vision that all people needed the gospel. Not only black folks, but all folks. I still have a special burden for black people. That's why I wrote letters to young black men, letters to young black women years ago, that has reached thousands of young folks down through the years. I own a publication called BlackChristianNewsOne.com. I still have a burden for black folks, but we own other sites directed to other groups and everybody. That was when God called me to preach. And God led me to preach the gospel in nearly every state in the United States. Half of the churches were white, including Alaska and Hawaii, and over 25 foreign countries. If you think a new president, dear friends, being in office is the only thing needed to save America and make America great again, you are woefully, sadly, deceived. You're deluded. The church must follow through and keep the main thing, the main thing. And that is reaching unbelievers with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and praying for their salvation. For the problem in America is not only disobedient presidents, and disobedient politicians, and disobedient people, but disobedient pastors, disobedient preachers, and disobedient parishioners who have refused to obey the Lord's great commission, which is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and who have refused to obey God's repeated commands to pray without ceasing. For unbelievers, for lost folks, for believers, and for political leaders, and for all people. Pray for the president, but don't get caught up in the political happenings like the world does. Some of you folks are going to have a heart attack keeping up with all the news that's happening with politics. Nothing much is going to change until people get saved. They hear the gospel and get saved and get their hearts right with the Lord. Allow me to share this with you. The only reason why I love all people, including white people, no matter our history, is because of Jesus Christ. The only reason why I am against killing babies in the womb, abortion, is because of Jesus Christ. Before I got saved, I didn't care nothing about that. I'm ashamed to say that before I got saved, before I was born again, I was supportive of abortion. I participated in an abortion in that I paid for it by a girl, for a girl that I got pregnant while lost it on my way to hell. And I regret it to this day. When I was a teenager, I thought it was just a procedure, just ignorant, like most of the people in the world. That's why they are so angry with Christians, because they think it's just a medical procedure. They don't think of it as a baby, just like I didn't. I didn't feel any guilt about that at all. Totally ignorant, like all lost people. That's why we have it in, excuse me, we have it in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., ass backwards. You need to get the gospel to people, not think you can vote somebody in to protect the unborn. Get the people saved, and then they'll understand that they're killing a baby. They don't understand that now. The only reason why I'm against homosexuality is because I'm born again. I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. Now, I was never involved in that mess, even before, when I was lost, thank God. But I got saved December the 19th, and I was not against anybody else doing it before I got saved. Now I see being born again, being saved, that it is a satanic attempt to turn God's world upside down on his head. And I believe it's one of the reasons why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah the way he did. That's why homosexuals and people of that ilk, and even supporters of them, they can't stand the church. Why? Because they're blinded by Satan. It's nothing personal. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. So, ladies and gentlemen, because of Jesus Christ, I'm different. Because of Jesus Christ, I love all people. I stand for all things that are evil and wrong, even in my own life. In fact, I'm harder on myself than anybody else. God knows, you can ask him when you get to heaven, if I have an evil thought in my mind, I'm under conviction. I can be in my bedroom. I'm under conviction about it. And it's been that way for 40 years. Be that as it may, dear friends, using how God, the same God who changes not, dealt with his chosen people in the past, and based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, this message will show God's chosen people of today, I believe, the church, the lost souls of black folk and white folk, how to find their soul and their way again. understanding that judgment must begin at the house of God. Stop worrying about politicians. Stop worrying about what the world is doing. They're going to do what the world does. Get your heart right with God. Repent of your sins. Stop thinking about what other people are doing and confess your sins and repent. Turn from your evil ways, you hypocrite. It is then and only then that God's people, black and white, together can lead America and the world past the problem of the color line, along with other problems, closer to where God wants us all to be while living on this earth. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done here today, for what you're doing, for what you will do. We praise you and we thank you for your eternal, holy, divinely inspired, inerrant word. And for it will stand forever. Have mercy and grace upon people in your church who claim to be Christians. Lord, and forgive them of their sins, and help them to repent of turning from your holy word, some in practice and some even in speech, and turning others from your holy word. Help us to not unhitch from your holy word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Holy Gospel, which is based upon the scriptures of the Old Testament, as you said in the New Testament. Help us to turn from our evil ways that contradict the gospel, and forgive us of our sins, and help us, Lord, to repent. Save those who are lost, and help us in your church to get back to the main thing, and to keep the main thing. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." In the back. And come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin, people, every last one of us. We're headed towards the grave because of our sins. The soul is headed towards hell because of our sins if we don't trust Christ as Savior who died for our sins. So thirdly, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell. Right now, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. It is a place that you do not want to go to. There's not going to be any parties in hell, and you will not see your friends in hell. Because even though there will be the torment of fire in hell, it will be dark in hell at the same time. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and receive Jesus Christ into your heart through prayer. For the Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is how I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. And this is how anybody got saved. And this is how you can be saved. If you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now and trust Christ as your Savior and receive him, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I have done evil in your sight by lying, by stealing, by lusting after people and things, by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring my parents, by disobeying my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I received the free gift of salvation. You, Lord Jesus, please save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old and evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Jesus Christ into your heart, believing in your heart that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, that is the gospel according to the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Christ as Savior, as your personal Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why.